Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicated to the memory and the honor of Joseph Irving. Inner Sight, Tuesday night, open mic, live. Welcome, everybody. And if you want to learn more about who Joe was, Arian, tune in tomorrow night at Manhattan Neighborhood Network.
What?
1997, that's at 11 o'clock tomorrow night, and we have a program that we did a while back on Joe. I don't remember if he was on that show or not, or maybe we just dedicated it to him, but either way, you can learn about our great advocate, Arian. Tomorrow night at 11, Manhattan Neighborhood Network, 1997, and Channel 3 on the Spirit Channel. All right. I want to thank Suzanne for sending in that program.
Oh, you're welcome.
All right, this is Open Mic, the program where you can pick your own subject if you want to call in. We get the phones
That's
open.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're
I want to thank Silo for their $700 pledge of a donation. We greatly appreciate that. And I want to thank my dear friend Allie for helping me with my book that I'm writing, Inner Sight, will be the title. That's what I'd like to be the title, of course. It's up to the
publisher.
The, editor, publisher, you know, if they like it. Inner Sight.
Yeah.
Well, I like it. That's good enough.
That's all that matters, isn't it?
Yeah. Inner Sight.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking for the cover, I would put a picture of my first Akita guide dog, Mountain, with the sterile gown on. When he participated in the delivery of my youngest daughter, Mary. And, of course, I'll tell the
that
story in the book.
Awesome.
But I think that might make a nice, you know, what is this? Why does this dog have this, you know, might want to make people read the book.
Yeah, I think you should. I think you should make that definitely the cover. I wouldn't pass go on that.
Well, you know, I got to see what kind of a deal I can get and the promotion, you know, the kind of promotion they're going to do. And,
who is editing your book? Do you know yet?
Allie's going to edit it. She's going to do it for me.
Oh, okay, good.
She's a writer, so.
That's good.
You know, she's going to help me with that. My good friend Ira Tucker is going to evaluate it and look at it and try to get me a book deal and an agent.
Mm,
so
that's good.
I'm grateful. I mean, if anybody knows their way around in this business, it's Ira Tucker.
That's true.
For many, many, many years. So I got that in the works. And I want to thank when I gave the idea to Michelle Charlesworth, from ABC News, she says I strongly endorse the idea of your book.
This,
you know, so
I'm sorry to interrupt, but she was telling
me. I got her blessing.
I got her blessing from about the nursing homes. She loved the idea that we were having a show, but she wants us to develop it. You know, more and stuff like that.
Sure.
So we'll see what happens as it goes along.
As far as we know, it's the first program dedicated to getting rid of nursing homes. That's tomorrow night at 8, by the way, here on Inner Sight. And I talked to Danny today about a news release, and he said he'd like to wait to see if we're going to get more donations to start the Volunteers for Freedom before he, you know, it would make a bigger story.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So we'll,
he's right.
So So we'll see how that goes. When I get the check from Silo, I'll be calling them to thank them, and I'm going to ask them if they could reach out to other independent living and let them know about the program, and maybe they would make a donation. I mean, they want to get rid of nursing homes. They got to do something.
Yeah, they have to.
To bring it about, other than just writing a letter and, you know, here's a show that is actually dedicated to getting rid of the nursing homes. So all the independent living centers should be a part of this.
Yes, they should.
It would make it go a lot faster and put more in it. You know, I'm gonna see if we can how we can work that out. All right, Inner Sight Open Mic, brought to you by the Big East Akita Rescue, the Little Bear down in Toms River, New Jersey. All those little old Akitas hanging out there. And I always had a joke with Joanne, and I haven't said it on the air for a while, but no one would ever rob your house.
That's the truth.
Too many of them.
That's right.
Can you imagine all those Akitas coming at you?
Oh, God, I'd be scared. I'd be running. Because they work as
she
a pack dog, you know? If they don't like what's happening, they work together to, you know, that's just the way, you know, it is with, you know, pack
that's
animals.
For sure.
Yeah.
So, Biggie, 609-388-7004. Yeah, 388-7004-609. Biggie, Akita Rescue, adopt an Akita. Hey, you need food for the Akita. Nobody starves on Long Island, local here. Call Gary. Dog food, cat food, and medical attention. Nobody starves on Long Island. 631-484-3085. So it's a
That's
good
right.
number to keep handy, you know, especially
you
if you...
You butchered it on the weekend, on Friday. Remember? You were joking.
I did what?
You were joking and butchered it. The number.
Oh, the number.
Yeah. Yeah.
631-484-3085. Keep the number handy. You know, you never know if you run out of food, you know, you might need it.
That's true.
All right, let's see. Inner Sight, Kennedy Realty, my buddy Anthony Kennedy, Islip, New York. Buy a house, sell a house, get some good info. Part of our open mic tonight, Kennedy Realty. 631-888-1186. All right. And I want to say to all these people running election, you know, don't call me unless you're going to do something to help us.
Mm.
You know, you do something to help us, I'll promote you, I'll vote for you, you know.
That's right.
But we got to get something from you. All right? No, we don't have the big donation to give you, but we got some damn good ideas that would help you. So that's the new policy at Inner Sight. I mean, I can't, you know, people...
I like it.
I'm not going to tell people how to vote, but... If you
I
want
vote today.
Our vote, you know, what are you going to do for us? Do something, and we'll tell you what we need. Not you tell us. We're going to tell you. You know? So that's the new policy at Inner Sight. We got over 100,000 listens, and...
Yeah, we're close to 111.
Yeah. A lot of them are local.
Yeah, they are.
All right, Inner Sight, beautiful children of the world, Corey, Avante, little Tommy, baby royalty, Ollie Campbell, go an extra mile for a child. We honor and salute those that have passed. and remind you, go an extra mile for a child, inner sight. All right, let's see, what else we got? Open mic. Let's have a word from Able News. You got that word ready?
Yeah, I got it. Sort of. My screen just blew out on me. I'm sorry.
What happened?
You're going to have to continue. I can't get to it right away.
Your mind blew out? What?
That's right. No, I couldn't get to it. I got logged out of the internet and on that site.
You got locked out of the internet?
Yeah, I just got back.
Oh, you're not on the computer?
No, I got back in. Yeah, I am. But I got back in. I just got kicked off the network, that's all.
All right, so can you do the Able News?
Yep, here it comes.
Able is the newspaper for, by, and about the disabled. It has served the disabled community for the past 31 years, with all the news that pertains to people with disabilities, including a calendar of events, columns written by various experts, and a variety of informative articles in a large type format. The input of the disabled person is a priority. Able also has a personals page that boasts two marriages, a classified section to buy and sell items, and various informative ads by different vendors. Able is now online. Visit ablenews.com and sign up for your free subscription today. Back to you, Frank.
All right, and don't forget to sign our petitions, the one on the nursing home one and the one on the service dog, change.org. You can go to our website and you'll be able to find them that way too, innersight.info or change.org. And now anything happening new with the nursing home one since we started the show? And
yeah, I want to
like
see if it changed any. Yeah, it'd
we
be nice.
Picked up any
Hold
new
on one
names.
Second.
And when you get a chance. Oh,
I got to log in to change.
All right, Inner Sight. Open mic at 213-816-1650. I heard a friend of mine called me today and told me that he saw in the news that the mayor of Chicago, who I believe is a female, don't know her name, reversed the mask mandate.
Mm-hmm.
And said that people don't have to take the vaccine.
Wow.
According to what this person told me. I didn't hear it in the news, but it was told to me. So if that's true, I believe that's the first big city to implement something like that. But, you know, it shows you that people are beginning to investigate these things. And they're not just doing it off the top of their head. They're investigating.
That's true.
Just like we mentioned last night about how the police and the fire department here in New York researched it and found out that eventually people get natural immunity.
I think that's
to
happened.
A virus. Yeah. So
they
I'll don't
tell want
you
to
what
take happened with me.
A vaccine. What?
When I was younger and I was going to college recently, a little younger than myself now, the issue was that I was trying to figure out, you know, what I needed to take to get to college. They want you to take a vaccinations, I should say, when you go to college. And one of them was this measles, mumps, and rubella I had to take again. That I had before, but they demanded that we take it again. Then there was another instance when the swine flu came out. That was a coronavirus also. So when I took my coronavirus vaccination, I didn't get much reaction to it. So I'll tell you, on the sneak, I feel that they were developing this and they knew that there would always be some sort of catastrophe like that. Because when I used to work, you know, at certain jobs who that had federal connections, the U.S. always used to have a pandemic drill. So they know about it. They always knew about it. But it just happened to come, you know, from 2019 all the way till now, and it hasn't been eradicated. That's the biggest one we've had yet.
I don't believe that they tested this stuff every which way.
No, I don't believe it either.
I
don't believe they tested it as much as they need to test it. I think that was only five years in the development, if we're lucky. Serious.
If that. If we know. I mean, we don't know that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we know about the immune system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we know that it can be strengthened on certain minerals, vitamins, and herbs and all that. We know about that. You know, most of the medical doctors don't dwell on that, and they don't believe in that, which I believe is wrong. They should.
Yeah.
But at least that's something that has been proven over thousands of years.
Yeah.
You know, especially all over Europe. Europe is big on
herbs.
The immune system idea rather than vaccinations
I like
and all that. So, you know, there's a lot to be said, and I heard the other day on the news that a lot of the business people got together and contacted the president and told him to hold off on his vaccine until after the holidays.
Mm.
You know, because it's going to interfere with people.
Yeah.
Moving about and all that stuff. Anyway, open mic, 213-816-1650. You want to call in, keep it clean, and please turn down your radio, television, video, whatever you got. Try to avoid the speakerphone.
Yeah.
All right, anybody online?
Yeah, I saw Anthony. Let me get back to the other screen.
What?
Hold on. I saw Anthony. Give me a second. I'm running very slow on the computer, so I'm trying to figure out a way for it to... Give me a second, and I'll give it to you.
So, a lot of people are confused about this and bewildered, and I would imagine a lot of people are conflicted over it, which is not a good thing, see?
No, it isn't.
Because when you're conflicted, you create stress.
Yeah, you do.
You know, I have no conflict about this vaccine. I know that I won't take it and I don't want it.
Oh, yeah, it's easy.
That I know that I have something better.
Yeah. Well, I had a gut feeling. I don't know what was making me have that gut feeling, but I did. And it was telling me that they're going to – I would have never done it if it was – you know, I just didn't want to not be prevented from seeing my mom, but then she ended up passing away anyway.
Nah, they
couldn't
pull that off. Come on. Nah, they couldn't.
Well, I got Anthony on the line, so let me
put
him through.
Especially if the person was on critical. You can't stop somebody else from going into seeing you. You put the necessary robes on or whatever it is, you know, a mask and all that, and you go in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it is. I can't see
them. Okay, I got my screen back, Frank.
Stopping
people.
So
if you'd like to take a call.
Yeah, open mic.
Okay. Here's Anthony.
Live on Inner Sight. Hello.
Hi, Anthony.
Suzanne, how are you? Hi, Frank. That's good. I didn't want to interrupt you while you were talking and making a good point. But I was thinking to myself how disabled people are treated like less than. And it really drove the point home today in my mind when I found out that the city came up with a new program to replace this emergency meal program that they have when people call 311. So basically they're ending the one that they had that would help anyone if you didn't have enough food stamps, if you didn't get enough food from, you know, whatever food delivery program you have, if you had no one to go to the store for you, or if you had the coronavirus and couldn't go out. But here's the thing. This new program they have is going to only be temporary, and they say that it's only for people that are 60 and older and who were clients of the previous program. But here's the issue. It's frozen meals, and I think that, you know, sadly, Meals on Wheels does a great job in providing meals for senior citizens, and their hot meals, and they give them snacks and everything. They're friendly, reliable, compassionate volunteers, and they're there, and, you know, they're dependable and they're needed. But a lot of what is, you know, being given in this other program was pure garbage from the beginning. Rotten apples, you know, tuna fish that was dripping, you know, all snack foods. They took like half a chicken cutlet and cut it in half and gave it to someone. I know that it, you know, was emergency food, but it's unedible. And I think that, you know, sadly, a lot of these programs that are supposed to be trusted with helping people that are in need are sadly underserving them. And I think a lot of people put a lot of faith into these programs. And, you know, we know that things are mismanaged sometimes, and, you know, they could all be ran better, and we all have our opinions on how, you know, they overspend money. But with these meal programs, you could obviously see that they're sending someone garbage, you know, pure, unedible garbage. And that's a shame, because it's people that can't help themselves. And you take a program like Meals on Wheels, and it only, you know, accepts limited numbers of clients now, and they're not accepting anymore. And, you know, there are people that have homemakers that don't know how to cook, or they can't get enough hours, or, you know, enough days a week. And because they're not 60 and older, they won't give them meals. So pretty much they're on their own, or they have to starve, or, you know, they have to figure out some other way to get food. And they were only, you know, a little bit more understanding for a while as far as getting the paperwork in when, you know, the coronavirus was going on. But now that it's settled down, they cut down on that. And even, you know, other meal programs are very stringent on the types of illnesses that you have to have in order to get this. And the other thing that was on my mind tonight was about the nursing homes. And, I mean, I don't want to see people's life be ruined by, you know, us wanting to see these nursing homes go out of business. But I really feel that, you know, part of the reason why they run these nursing homes like this, and I could pretty much say the whole reason, is because of corporate greed. Now, you could say that the home care agencies are ran by greedy people who are only in it for the money, but ultimately you'll get better care through them. And everyone seems to have this obsession with wanting to be a CNA, a CNA, a CNA. Now, a CNA is a little more than a personal care aide, and they're not really highly qualified like people make them out to be.
They're only qualified for the nursing home, you know. That
yeah.
CNA is for the nursing home.
Yeah, and people seem to have a fetish with wanting to work for these kind of places because of the money. Now, this is my issue. If
we can do better if they listen to us.
Right.
Excuse me. We can do better if they listen to us.
Right. And I won't say that nobody wants to or will, but, you know, we have our work cut out for us to get rid of these nursing homes. And
yeah,
we don't we don't know that it'll ever happen. I mean, I'm hopeful and optimistic, and I believe in never giving up and, you know, continuing to keep up the fight and express our feelings and say what we say and, you know, get the word out there. But
well, we
really
have, excuse me, Anthony, we have two shots at this, all right? The one shot is that the government will see what the hell's going on and stop wasting the money and give our plan a try, all right? I don't expect that to happen either. But the other shot, I think we got more of a chance with the other shot, that somebody with a good amount of wealth is going to step up and say, hey, you know, you're right. I want to do it. Let's do it.
That's
here's
right.
here's the $50 million to start. Let's get the Volunteers for Freedom going, and show how we do it, you know. And let's get the lobby, you know. So we got two shots at this world. It's not just one thing, you know. It's two different ways that this
shot
can be done. That's why this show is. That's why the nursing home show is so damn good Wednesday night. Because
yeah,
there's interest in it now.
You know what
I mean,
our
own independent living center just donated $700 because they want to get rid of the damn nursing homes.
Yeah, I don't blame them. But you know what interests me is if someone were to do it, who would it be? And just, you know, out of, you know, curiosity, how much would they donate, you know what I mean? And I know that we'll get pushback.
You
yeah
know, it's guys in it there.
And I know that we'll get pushback from these nursing homes. But
oh, yeah.
here's union reps and the owners, you know that they're gonna have a fit and a half. But
I wanna ask you a question when you're done.
Yeah, but sure, Suzanne. But you want to know what? What I've been thinking about was these people that think in their head that if they're going to, you know, lose their nursing home jobs, that they're going to come to our home care agencies and
right
think that we're privileged to have them and neglect us like hell because they believe that we're disabled and, you know, they need us, we need them, and you know, there are more workers now, and they're from a nursing home, so they think that they're on top of the world because they, you know, work in a nursing home and we're going to put up with it. I don't put up with nonsense from my homemakers, and I won't put up with it from people who come from a nursing home either, who are going to try to run my home in any way and tell me how to live and what to do and when
oh, yeah
to sleep and when to eat, when to anything else.
No, they wouldn't run you with our idea because we would pay them.
Well,
right.
As it stands, well, 1 second, guys. As it stands now, you have a lot of people who, you know, are not working Anthony has said they just choose not to work and then go flip a burger or something, or even, you know, do some other job, you know, or even work in these nursing homes. Now, the thing that boils my blood is when you have, you know, these people and they don't get it. They don't get what's on the outside, what's in the people's homes. I have a relative who just didn't get it recently, and it was starting to bother me. You know, so I told her off. In no uncertain terms, I'm not going in a nursing home, period. And if I am,
who the hell wants
it's not
to? Nobody
pretty
does.
Yeah,
nobody
wants
in their right
to
mind.
So she tried yeah to, like, tell you that, to push you and say, you know, well, don't you think it would be a better idea? But you
oh,
want
yeah
you want
uh-huh.
Wow.
Tell
yeah
her to go in one for a year and let you know how it is.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted
her
to do.
That's what
she
I would
told
say.
You
can't be the, yeah, she
yeah
can't be the nurse. She has to be the person who is in the bed and requiring services completely. I mean, you have to keep just sit there and just say, hey, listen, you've got to, what do you call it, be the patient. Be the patient and actually be the patient. Not
she.
Oh, go ahead.
Well, tell her to go be a patient if she's
yeah
so good.
Yeah.
Let's see you do it.
So she told you what she really felt. I'm sorry to cut you off, but, you know, I was in mid-thought and it kind of blurred out of my mouth. But I'll tell you what. I mean, Frank, I know that we can get rid of these people and, you know, nobody lasts forever and, you know, you know, the sunshine only lasts for a couple of hours and then it gets dark, you know, through times in life. But you do find that a lot of times people that even pay people privately are, you know, their lives are dictated by these homemakers, you know, because they think that they need them. So you're kind of in a vulnerable spot and they don't know who else they're going to get. And, you know, there is no perfect answer. There's always other agencies.
Of course, there's never a perfect answer.
Yeah.
No, there is.
But there's a better answer.
Right.
That's
and,
the truth.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, overall the disabled community is being tired of, you know, being treated like, you know, horses in a stable or cattle or just, you know, another file, and that's all. Because we know that they really don't, you know, care about people, so they're just going to say, oh, well, you know, you want to go to a nursing home? Do you want to go into another nursing home? You know, or if you make a wave and you fight and you put up a big stink about things, then, you know, they'll want to...
Then they put you in the stink.
Yeah, kick out of a nursing home. Oh, well, she's not tolerating the nursing home. Then she has mental problems. They have to make it look like that. I wonder sometimes why, because they probably have to try to cover up abuse, and they are going to try to mentally put you in that frame of mind and stabilize you and get you to settle into the idea that this is your home and this is where you have to live and you have to accept the circumstances of your life. But,
that's,
I mean,
there
are
laws. Another reason why you don't want to go there.
Right. There are laws, but there are probably, like I said, people who have, you know, found ways to skim around it and put their relatives in nursing homes. But I think the biggest issue with it, Suzanne, and I know that, you know, Frank feels that this, you know, home care is a difficult job, and I'm not trying to, you know, put down people that do that and water, you know, water the job down if people do a good job. But I think that part of the problem why people want to put their relative in a nursing home is because of fear. When, you know, people make the job seem over-challenging, you know, oh, my God, you know, we could never handle this at home. She's got to go into a nursing home. There's no way around it, you know. And then that's why there are probably some people who, you know, who get more hours than they need, and the insurance companies are able to pour it on because these people act, you know, helpless, like they don't have two hands. Like the home health aide, and nobody does it better, you know, makes them feel sad for the rest. So then, you know, you have to put them in a nursing home because it's the only way, you know, for them to survive.
Well, that's what they convince people to do.
Right.
Yeah, it is.
And people don't try. They want, you know, the easiest
solution. They don't
solution.
Have, a lot of people don't have the money to do it.
Yeah,
right.
It's true.
But it's the government... you know, pushing people too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If they cared about their American citizens, then, you know, they shouldn't want to see them be put in a place like that. I mean, this is not a third world country. We have civil rights.
See, with our idea, if they want to push, fine, let them. We'll expose it, because with our idea, we would have it covered. You see? Oh, how's the person going to get the extra 10 hours? If we had the money and the people, we would have it covered. So if they want to push it, go ahead and push it. We'll blast it all over the damn newspapers. We'll make you look like the freaking devil.
And only
that's
when,
how I approach it.
And only when you do, then they don't want you there. Then they want to do anything you want them to do because they want to kiss your ass. because they don't want to deal with you. And that's all it's about. And the sad thing, Frank, is that, you know, there are no cameras which the public can see inside these nursing homes. No, yeah, but we can't see it as the public. It's not on TV. Okay, they show it like in an isolated circumstance, in abuse case here, in abuse case there. And I'm not saying that, you know, it can't happen at home, that they don't have those, you know, hidden nanny cams where, you know, you'll find an aide being abusive and things like that. But the aides can be fired 1, 2, 3, and you can get someone else and life moves on. But in a facility, this is your captivity. This is what they call your home.
Yeah.
So you're stuck there, and you know, you have to ask for someone else to take care of you. And that's what Joe said. Oh, well, you can ask someone else to take care of you. But you really think that they really, you know, follow what you want. And also remember that if and when they do, a lot of what happens to elderly people when they're in nursing homes gets blown over, and they'll, you know, say that the person is saying that because they have dementia or Alzheimer's, and, you know, they're frail and they're emotional and they don't like the person, and they're sick and they're not getting care, and they want attention and want to be babied. You know what I mean? I mean, the home care agencies will come up with a bullshit excuse too. We know that. But, you know, at least, you know, you're on the outside. You can, you know, you can fight to get another agency. They have to do something with you. You know, you can call the state. You can this, you can that. It's not like being held captive in a place, and that's the problem, you know.
You are captive unless somebody takes you out and is your guardian.
A while back,
I don't know if Suzanne remembers her question, but she said she had a question.
Yeah, I do, actually. I wanted to ask you a question. Now, I found out some interesting information. I want you to share with people what it means to be blacklisted in the home care. Because I won't doubt that I am, but, you know, I know of certain things that they've, you know, done that I don't want to, you know, in case I do.
I don't like that term, blacklisted.
Right.
Yeah, but they do.
But that's what it is, Frank. So you want to know.
How about that?
You want to know. So you want to know what the causes of being blacklisted is, or what do you do once you? Okay. The causes
and then what do you
of
do
being.
About it? That'd be good.
The whole idea of being blacklisted is basically a bunch of nonsense anyway, because what happens is, like, let's say if you say that, you know, my aides are a bunch of lowlifes, and I have a live-in case, and I live alone, and many of my aides stole money from me. So the agencies basically only like to deal with...
I had a cameo stolen.
Oh, wow.
not with this aide, but the aides that I had when I was younger. I had a cameo stolen and a pair of boots.
Yeah. Basically, the agencies only want to deal with simple, common complaints. I've always said they live in a la-di-da world. So they are not happy to, but are willing to, take complaints about common things like cleaning or cooking or doing laundry, things like that. But if you start saying, oh, well, I fell, you know, many of your aides left me alone, or, you know, I wasn't able to get to the door and they left my door unlocked and I'm in the bed and, you know, no one was here to take care of me, or anything, you know, that... or if you're the type of person where, my aide hit me and I beat them up and I punched them in the face and I broke their glasses, anything like that. They want frail people.
Sounds
they
like
want,
a good comedy to me.
Yeah, they want frail people. people in that sense. If you get abused, they don't like it, and they hate it, and they frown upon it, and they don't want you to be part of their agency. But if you're the kind of person that will hit the aide back and call the police, they don't want that, because then, you know, you're causing their aides to get fired, and it goes through the state and through the government, this and that, and then their attorneys will get involved. But what happens, you know, they'll put a bunch of nonsense on them about, you know, on you, about you overworking the aides, about you being violent, about you being aggressive, you having emotional problems, you being oversensitive, this and that. But when it does happen, you call the state, and you know, they cannot blacklist you from every agency there is unless you cannot physically be cared for in your home, and the state's attorneys can fight for you to get your home care back. And after a certain number of years, it doesn't last anymore. They take it all, the you know, the blacklisting off your
well,
file and
agency.
You'll...
One agency I used to work with had me on a bulletin board, okay, of my blacklisted, I swear, this is the craziest thing. What happened to HIPAA? You know, I mean, it's out the window. When
it
comes,
they
can do that
bad
to me.
List, not blacklist.
They, well, I don't know why they blacklist you, but they can blacklist
bad,
you when they...
As Frank puts it.
When the information
what?
Is,
or bad as you put it,
is shared from agency to agency when they
why
pull
single out
a
race?
Case.
I mean that's you know.
Yeah, but you want to hear something, Suzanne? When my mom wasn't living here, this will make you laugh all night long after the show's over. When my mom wasn't living here, I got into a fight with. One of the aides, actually a few of the aides, because there were like three or four of them, and then they would, you know, start to pick on me and make fun of me, well, not make fun of me, but, you know, make my life hell because they felt that I was vulnerable and desperate and lived alone. And, you know, when I would ask for help and they would ignore me, there were like four of them, I believe it was. And, you know, they would threaten to hit me, so I would get angry, and then, you know, we'd say something to each other. And because, obviously, you know, we don't know each other, and I can't take that as a joke because I don't know, you know, they just started here, and it's just not appropriate for your aide to do that. So I, you know, would call the police on them and stuff like that, and then they would, you know, go to try to hit me, and I would wind up beating them up. And I called the police on them, and I got, you know, blacklisted from the aide. Agency, and, you know, it goes to the lawyers, and then you can't get in that agency. And if it happens, you know, if other agencies don't want to take you because they only want to take, you know, complaints about the garbage and laundry, and it piles up, and eventually nobody wants to take you, and you get a cool estate. We know that. But the aides told the agency that I did karate on them. And that I was violent and aggressive.
Karate!
So the agencies wrote some, their lawyers wrote some kind of thing on my file, some kind of ism for an extremely violent person that their aides couldn't handle. So, you know, and because they left me alone in the house and things like that. So that's how they got away with handling the case. And then it was difficult for me to get into another agency because the aides convinced several of them went to the agency and convinced the agency that I did karate on them, or at least this is what their lawyers wrote. There's some kind of terminology.
I don't even know what karate is.
For a person that knows how to do karate, a disabled person in a wheelchair that's been in a wheelchair all my life. This is what they said about me. But Suzanne, what did they blacklist you for?
What didn't they blacklist me for? It's more like it. I'm saying that with a jest, called the Department of Labor because my ladies weren't getting paid properly. So I called the Department of Labor, and they did an investigation on them.
Oh, my God. So they blacklisted you for that?
That was one.
Well, that's perfectly lawful.
There's more. There's nothing wrong with that.
But they
should be accountable.
Like people that go against the grain. Uh-huh.
That's right.
What?
And I don't care. I'll go against the grain as much as... Do you know what my insurance company said don't put her in a nursing home. She does not, it's my insurance company, okay? She does not do well. Oh, my gosh. I
in other
wish
words,
I had a recording
not,
of that. You know?
In other words, she's not willing to tolerate the nonsense. There was a lady that I know that lived in Missouri, and the state said that her case was very difficult to cover because she asked the aide to come to make too complicated of a meal for dinner. She wanted them to make she wanted them to make meatloaf and, you know, beef stew and pot roast, and they said that
well,
she overworked.
What's wrong with that?
Me.
I'll be over for dinner.
That's
yeah,
right.
they said that, you know, that's overworking the aide and asking for too much. But
people
you
are
know,
lazy. They don't want to work, man.
Most recently, I know in at least one circumstance, I got blacklisted from an agency because the aides weren't wearing gloves. And, I was tested, my mom was tested, so we know that we're fine. But they were coughing all over the place, the aides. And they
I got bad listed from a guide dog school because I wouldn't stop playing music.
And they didn't wear masks either, and they weren't cleaning, weren't doing anything, and these were guys that the agency had on the file but never called, and they didn't know them, and then, you know, they weren't doing anything, this and that. So I got fed up with it, and I told them, you know, that the good aides the agency wouldn't let me have or wouldn't send anybody, wouldn't this, wouldn't that, and I was being left alone for several hours, and the aides were going out and not coming back and, you know, getting paid for the hours, and the state, you know, gave them a fine for health and safety because it was putting, you know, my mom at risk and I at risk for the coronavirus, and the agency blacklisted me, and now they won't take me back in the agency for God knows how many more years. But that's the only, I think it's like 4 or 5 years, but that's the only agency that I know that I'm blacklisted from.
Well,
but
I got a
know,
question. Wait a minute. When you get into a situation like that, they're going to put you on the bad list.
Yes.
Aren't you entitled to an administrative hearing?
No, because the agencies have the right. They say, you do have a right to home care, and if, you know, the insurance company is going to close your case, then you can have a hearing over the phone or in person. But I know you don't believe in this number, Frank, but for anyone who is blacklisted against all home care agencies and cannot get home care for, you know, abuse or whatever reason, severe problems with the aides or the agencies, if they're not getting anywhere with the administration, they can call the New York State Home Care Services Complaint Hotline at 212-417-5888.
Yeah, so there's got to be some kind of a hearing system.
Say that again.
212-417-5888. That's if your aide is leaving you alone and the agency won't do anything about it. They won't send you anybody else. They will deal with that. But there is no hearing system for being blacklisted from one agency. But
well, don't these agencies get funding
money
from Medicare or Medicaid?
Yes,
Wait a minute. Let Anthony answer the question. Anthony.
Okay.
Yes, but they have the right to refuse service to anyone at any time, but it won't affect you because you'll get another agency. And the only one they can close your case is your insurance company.
Yeah, but if they get money from Medicaid or Medicare, there's got to be some kind of a hearing system.
No, but they say that they're private agencies, and, you know, if you've complained too much about their agency.
But they're still getting the money. There's got to be a way.
Mm-hmm. But it will, you know, either way, I figure as long as you get service from an agency, it doesn't matter, because if you got blacklisted, you weren't having a, you know, great time anyway with them more than likely. But, you know, like I said, I mean, they can blacklist you for anything.
No, but you
want to
make sure they don't slander you with other agencies. That would be
That's true, and that's something that you'll have to to deal with, but somebody will take you. But the difficulty is that if, let's say, you are a client that needed a male aide, if you get blacklisted from that agency that gave you a male aide, you know, then the other agencies don't have any males. You're in a bad situation. You're in a bind. And then, let's say, if the person doesn't speak, the people from the other agencies don't speak English. Like, no, not English. I mean, if you are the type of person who speaks Spanish, and that agency had Spanish aides, that's putting in a bind too, because they had aides that live close by you that could serve you. But, you know, if you're going to report them, and if it becomes intolerable, you're going to take that risk and you're going to do what you have to do and get rid of it anyway and just deal with it.
All right, we're
going to,
thank you, Anthony. We're going to move on.
You're welcome,
with the
Frank.
Rest
thank
of
you,
the show.
I'll talk to you. Right.
Take care. Thank you, Frank.
In a site, open mic, and, you know, the bottom line answer. The bottom line answer to all this is that the person would have the money, you know, so that they could hire the person of their choice, the money to be divided between the government and the agency, the agency for the disabled should raise the money. If the person has the money, you'd obviously have a lot less problems because you wouldn't have to deal with all this political stuff. You know, if you didn't agree with an aide or didn't get along, you say, hey, you know, we got to part ways, and you get somebody else.
Right.
You know? And the only role of the government would be is to make sure to protect the person and the worker, to make sure that the money is being used in the right way.
Properly, yeah.
I mean, what a big difference that would make. You know, that would solve this problem.
It would.
All right. Inner Sight, tomorrow night's our nursing home show. And be with us 8 to 9. Get rid of the nursing homes that kill people.
Yes.
Tomorrow night.
They certainly do.
And we'll talk about how, among other things, how we can help the workers in the nursing homes, even now and later.
Even the owners can be helped from the way in which we're setting up the program. They haven't even asked us to speak in front of a large forum where we can describe in detail what we would like to do. Instead, we've met with a lot of resistance by these nursing home owners, as you would know they would do. But they have to sit down and come to the table and understand that.
Wait a minute, you're jumping out to something that I'm not aware of. What do you mean we met with resistance? When did this happen? I don't follow you.
When we spoke with some politicians, I'm not going to mention names, that they said, some of them said mostly like for the guide dog schools, and also when we met with the recent politician that you went with. So I'm wondering,
I met with the congressman, I only touched on the subject. We didn't really talk about nursing homes.
Okay.
We have to come up with a proposal, and then. You know, we'll see if anybody's interested in meeting with us and all that. We got to get that proposal written up.
Yeah,
you know.
I'll help you with that.
But we haven't tried yet to reach some of these owners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure that we will in the future.
We
know?
Have,
but as I said earlier. There's two ways to do this.
Mm-hmm.
One way is to get the cooperation of the owners and the government and say, hey, this is a wonderful idea. You know, we've been looking to get rid of these places, wasting money.
Yeah.
And the other way is that they come back and say, no, we don't want this. We know what we're doing and all that. You know, which is the same mentality of the service dog schools.
Yeah, which is true.
Then if they come that way, The only shot we have is to find somebody with enough money so we can start it on our own. Start with the
right.
Volunteers for Freedom.
Yeah.
So there's two ways we can do this. Be nice to do it the first way.
That's true.
Cooperation.
But we have
Louis Wayne
to introduce Friday. I've been
telling you. Oh, we got Louis on the line. We got a few minutes left.
He forgot all about it. He was there for
Rivera.
Before. Yeah, here he is.
Hello,
New York.
My name is Frank Perino, and I'm talking to Louis Rivera on the telephone.
Yeah.
The ringy dingy.
And hello, my name is Susanna Taurasi Ferrero, talking to Louis Rivera on the telephone.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to talk about, Friday?
Yeah, we're going to talk about Friday. Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
Okay, Lou. How are you?
Who's on the phone I just heard?
That was Anthony.
Anthony from Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
That's
yeah.
why my parents
yeah.
from Brooklyn.
I was
yeah.
raised there too, buddy. I think Frank was too.
Okay.
Brooklyn,
okay,
yeah.
Frank, you're laying on me for Friday.
Yeah, so Friday we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to get Lauren Hardy with the soda skit.
Yeah, that's right.
And we're going to have, maybe we'll have a little Jack Benny, and we'll have Honeymooners. Yeah, we're going to have the Honeymooners.
And Frank, don't forget.
There you go.
Now wait a minute, what is
that song?
I have no idea. I just found it as a piece of something, but it was free. It had no copyright on it, but I have no. I had to record it off of the board because I wanted to keep it in case something happened.
Oh,
what is that music? What is that music from? Oh, I get it. All right.
Yeah, it's the philosopher.
That's philosopher music.
Your friendly
yeah,
philosopher.
Yeah, all right. We'll have the friendly philosopher too, coming up on Friday.
And now listen up. Make sure you tune on Friday from 8 to 9 o'clock. My name is Rosanna Dana, and my name is Jerry Loses. Make sure you turn on a Friday on your Blog Talk Radio. 8 to 9 o'clock on a Friday. We're going to have a lot of wacky fun with the Swab.
And I'll
make sure I go to the right bath. We'll talk to Pat Cooper and many more. And I'll talk to Jerry and I'll go to Pat Cooper.
And I go to Vito Corleone also.
Oh, Corleone too is coming.
And
oh,
Jerry Hoos.
Okay.
Hey, Lou, who's Jerry Hoosers?
I have no idea.
Jerry Lewis, not Hoosers.
I like Jerry Hoosers better.
Hoosers, Hoosiers is a restaurant and bar.
Oh, it is?
I was there, saw some pretty nice waitresses in a bar. Wow, blonde brunettes and all that.
Where's that, in the Bronx?
Around Long Island somewhere, also in the Bronx, also New York City, all over.
Oh,
yeah, they have these restaurants, Frank, that you could go in and women are dressed, you know, in T-shirts and shorts all the time. Mostly. Yeah.
Well, we'll have to keep them warm. All
there
right, inner sight.
I'll call you on Friday. I'll be ready. I'm going to have a lot of wacky fun on Friday.
All right, Louis.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, man. Catch
and
you Friday.
And Suzanne and Frank,
Inner
Sight. Have a good evening.
You too,
yeah,
Louis.
You too. Inner Sight means freedom. Advocates for the Disabled. Our phone number is 631-224-3090. Don't forget tomorrow night, Nursing Homes Kill. Get rid of them. We'll give you a million
That's
reasons
true.
Why. And I want to thank all our listeners, callers. We'll be with you tomorrow night on Inner Sight. I want to thank the Suffolk Bus Corp for keeping us on the air. Now Silo. And we're going to do it. Okay. We're halfway there. We got support. We got people who, we got a news writer who thinks it's a great story.
There you go.
You know? We're going to do it. You know, all we need is one owner to
that's
start
right.
this. To say, hey, that's a great idea. I've been tired of these places anyway. One
owner. Yeah, it's
owner
too much responsibility.
Out there. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. One owner. All right. Goodbye, world. Inner Sight. Good night, everybody. Thank you. Inner Sight.
Good night, everyone.